just for the record, while we're on record, let me ask again, do you have anyone else coming to speak on your behalf today, sir?
Just my uncle and my parents were calling in.
Yes, we have a phone call.
Okay, so we'll call your parents, okay? And what about the parole officer? Do we have anything from, that we need to call?
I have a report from the parole officer.
But we don't have anything saying that we should call?
It doesn't say that we should call.
Let me see if we can get the parents.
Yeah, we're good, we're good.
Hello?
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Committee. As I understand it, that you wish to participate in the hearing for your son today, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, if you could hold on just for a few moments, the Honorable Ms. Renberg will be conducting the hearing, so just give us a few moments, and I'm going to ask, I'm sorry to worry you, Honorable Mr. Grady, do you have a number, can you find a number for Mr. Officer Berg, B-E-R-Y-B-E-R-G, do you have a number? I just want to see if we can make a phone call.
Spell his last name again?
Hmm?
Spell his last name?
I believe this is B-E-R... Is that a Y?
You read that.
His writing is almost as good as mine's. You know, his writing is almost the same as mine, so I can't read.
It's right up here, it's James Berg, B-E-R-G, the electronic monitor.
B-E-R-G, thank you. And do we have a phone number right up there that I didn't see?
I don't see a phone number.
Okay. Well, we just wanted to check just to see if he's not available, we will understand.
Okay. All right, well, in the meantime, we'll go ahead and start. So Mr. McAnally, how do I say your name?
McAnally.
McAnally, I got it right then, thank you.
Mr. Grady, if you get a number, just slip it to us.
Would you like to just come up to the podium for us here? And then state your full name and your ADC number, just for the record.
My name's Timothy Scott McAnally, DOC number 80366.
All right, well, good morning, thank you for being here.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and this is for a parole hearing to general parole, 412A.
That is correct, yes.
All right, good. And you became eligible for that, it's like May 3rd of 16, although that may have been home arrest. And the board, let me introduce you to the board members. If you look on the opposite end down there, that's the Honorable David Neal. Right next to him, the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right in the middle here, that's our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Right next to me here, the Honorable Louis Quinones, and I'm Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chair. So briefly, it appears you correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, I'll ask you in a minute. Looks like you're 51 years old and you're serving 25 years to life for, it appears there were some other crimes, a burglary tool possession and a theft. Those have expired, and the sentence you're currently serving is for murder. Okay,
correct, yes.
Good. And that those occurred between November 27th, 1989 or December 2nd, 1989, somewhere in there when you were about 23 years old?
That is correct.
Okay. And you were convicted in a jury trial on May 17th, 1990 and sentenced on June 26th.
On the phone, may we ask that you would remain quiet because the hearing is being recorded and we will be calling on you at the appropriate time, sir.
Thank you, thank you. Sentenced on June 22nd, 1990. There was an appeal and it was affirmed on July 27th of 1993, I believe. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Criminal history, I didn't see an extensive criminal history. There's a burglary in 1989, and your prison discipline, even though that seems like probably old news since you're on home arrest now, was very minimal. You had three majors, I think, in your entire time, and the last one of those was in 2010, so a long time ago. This is approximately fifth hearing before the board. You were granted 412B Paul to a consecutive sentence in 1991, and then home arrest granted in April. April of this year. Okay, and we have four letters. I've counted four letters of support in your packet. And, of course, we have two supporters on the phone, your parents. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened that day, the day of the crime?
Myself and victim, Judge Danville, we were running around with a friend of ours named Ed Kitchen, drinking, doing methamphetamine, discussing some problems that we had, and we left Ed's house, went out to the desert, got into a discussion, which led to an argument, and I took the life of Ms. Bill.
And it was around, what was the argument was about?
Over a drug transaction.
Okay, and I think it was certain that the amount was short or something, the amount of...
That is correct.
Of drugs, okay. All right. Just moving on up into the future here, it looks like you completed programs in prison. You completed a reentry program in particular. Is that correct? How did that program help you? I'm interested in that because I worked with the Department of Corrections when we implemented the reentry program, and I'm curious about how well it works.
Some of the information that they had at the time was very helpful, where to get help, how to deal with certain issues when you were released. Some of the information was outdated.
Yeah.
And that was one of the complaints by the counselor that I had at the time, Mr. Martinez.
Right.
But overall, it helped. It everybody got to discuss what they thought, what they've seen. For those of us who've done a lot of time, some of the youngsters that were in, you know, that were only in for a year, year and a half, they were able to answer a lot of questions for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of helpful in a lot of ways.
Okay. So how has the transition gone? I mean, since you were in prison for a long period of time, how are you doing? How's it going?
At first, it was kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Being around the crowds and everything else. But since I've gone to school, been around all the crowds, working around everybody, getting to know other people, getting to spend time with family, meeting my cousin's children for the first time, and going through the CHC program for the anger management,
mm-hmm.
helped deal with the a lot of the issues as far as kind of feeling out of place. And we had a lot of discussions about, you know, what it's like, how come we feel claustrophobic inside the stores, how to use a debit card.
Uh-huh. Yeah, many things have changed.
Things have changed. And
cell phones.
Yes, yeah, cell phones, the computer.
Yeah,
the
computers,
internet.
Yeah.
But it was, it gave me a chance to be in an area where you could talk, and they kind of understood what the problems were.
Yeah.
And
so that program helped you, the CHC,
It helped me stop and take a look at how everything was, how everything is, and pretty much just makes me stop and think about think before I do them.
Okay, all right. And you mentioned school.
Nice.
What school did you sit
I go to UEI College. I take a HVAC course.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a good skill to have around here, that's for sure.
Yes.
Okay. And then you also mentioned family. So what family do you have?
My parents are on the phone. My Uncle David, who's
right
here in the room. My Aunt Margaret. My cousin David and his wife Kelly, their two children, my Aunt Carolyn and my Uncle Fred, who couldn't be here today due to surgery yesterday.
Oh, wow.
My Uncle Leroy, my Aunt Georgianne,
Oh, you have a big, are they all right around here?
They're all right around here except for my parents.
Okay, so you, yeah, so you've got a lot of support in the community. You've got a lot of people that you can hang out with. Okay, good. And you mentioned at the time of the crime, meth.
Yes.
When's the last time you used meth?
1991.
So it's been a while.
Yes.
Okay, well, I figured that would be the answer. I wasn't expecting anything different, but...
Yeah.
But
it's been a long time since I've done any of that. So.
Well, good. All right.
I gave my grandmother my word. I've never gone back on the word of my grandmother.
Good. All right, good. So what do you do for in your spare time? I mean, for recreation, what kind of...
I sit around in the backyard. My uncle raises homing pigeons.
Interesting.
So we discuss the pigeons, yard work, paint the house.
So just kind of hang around the house?
Yeah, pretty much that's all I can do is hang around.
At this point? Yeah, at this point. Okay. Do you have any hobbies or...?
I draw. I like to draw blueprints.
Huh.
Mostly anymore, all I do is study for my HVAC.
Right.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I understood. How much more do you have to go before you're done?
I have two more classes.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Then you'll be done. Good. Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions.
May I see if we can get the officer?
Yes.
Let's see. Well, Mr. Johnson, could you help me?
We need Mr. Johnson to get... He's pretty good on getting the people on the phone. See if we can get your parole officer, who gave you a very good report, by the way. So.
Thank you.
Please record your message.
Yeah, he's out of the office. Okay.
Let's see, make sure we get his family back on.
Okay.
Hello, sir. Hello?
Yes.
Are you on the phone? We just wanted to make sure that you were still on the phone, sir.
Yes, we are.
Thank you. All right. Well, we'll continue. As I mentioned, your parole officer did give you a very good report that you're doing well, that you mentioned the school, he mentioned your CHC groups that you completed on November 19th. You've paid your fees, you've done all your drug testing, compliant with your monitor, your GPS monitor. So he says, according to him, you appear to be successfully assimilating back into society, stable residence, good support with your family, and that's great. That's what we. There sometimes in this job we don't get to see many like that. We see the people who aren't adjusting so well. So we're glad that you are. That's a good thing. Did Mr. Johnson? Do you have
something? I just had one question. I see you paid your fees and you paid off your restitution.
That is correct, yes.
So, I know you said you were going to school, but how are you getting income? Are you working too, or?
No, my parents had the money set aside for a vehicle. We used it to pay up all my fines and restitution.
Okay, so you didn't get a vehicle, you paid the fines and restitution?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Well, that's
excellent. That's very good.
Thanks, sir.
Dr. Rice?
Yes, sir. I'm just curious. This has nothing to do with whether you'll be moved to your to, well, you move up there or not, but your hobby or your uncle's hobby, running around with those birds, how's that working, sir? I mean, what do y'all do, you know, those pigeons or whatever you call them?
Isn't this uncle?
Yes.
What do you do, what's that about, sir? I heard about it, but I never heard many the one who deals.
They raise them up in a pigeon loft, and the birds get used to being at their home site, their home pen, where they're fed and watered, and you turn them loose, they fly around the house, they get used to the area that they're at. And then he'll transport them to a distance, turn the birds loose for training, and they fly back to the house and go back into their loft.
Do they actually fly back to the house? I mean, to where they started at, do they actually? And I ask that because I attended I guess this was last year, I attended a funeral service, and they, you know, sent them out, and they said that they were on their way back to wherever they came from, and I was just wondering if they were actually going back, or were they going to get lost or something, because they would have been about 50 miles from where they were going back to, from the cemetery where we were. It's something that caught my interest, watching them take off, you know, when they released them, and they said, well, they're going back to wherever they came from.
I guess there was a youth race that they had this year, and it was out of my uncle's loft, and they ran the birds up towards Flagstaff, Williams, Ash Fork, somewhere right there in that area, and it was for children all over the country. Birds came in from Oklahoma, New Mexico, Montana, and the birds were raised there. We took care of the birds. They were transported up there, turned loose, and the birds came home. There were people from Seattle that were there with their two young boys, and the boys were pretty excited when the birds started coming in. It was kind of enjoyable.
Well, that was just something that interested me. I just saw it one time, but I'd heard about it before. But let me ask something now about where we are now and the reason that you're here. Why do you feel that you want to move up, and how would that help you? Would it help you from a employment status, or what? I mean, why would you want to leave being on home arrest? What's in your mind? How would that be beneficial to you, sir?
From the class that I'm taking, and from the contractors here in the valley, for employment, I was told that they wouldn't hire me on the home arrest because of the service calls, how I have to go from place to place, and I have to be able to notify the parole officer in advance of where I was going. And as stated at my last hearing in April, I'm wanting to transfer back to Tennessee to my parents' house so I can help take care of them as they're getting elder. And I was told that I can't transfer until I'm put on general parole. And I met all the requirements that were asked at that hearing of getting all my fines and everything else paid.
And have you started working on interstate compact yet, or are you going to wait until after and see what we do today, sir?
As I was told by my parole officer, I cannot do it to file for interstate until I am put on general parole, as policy states.
And at that point, then you would be interested in going to Tennessee to be with your family.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And where in Tennessee is your family located, may I ask?
Portland, Tennessee.
Where's that?
It's about 45 minutes north of Nashville.
And what would you do in Tennessee if you have that opportunity? Have you thought about employment or what you might be able to do aside from being with your family? I know you want to be with your family, and that's very important, but what would you do to make a living in terms of employment?
When I checked with a lot of the maintenance, because I did maintenance while I was in the state prison, I checked with a lot of maintenance companies back there, and they wanted HVAC certified with the EPA card so that I can service the equipment, along with my previous electrical experience. So I took the HVAC so that I could have that. It would work for me out here, and it worked back there for the maintenance companies because that's what they required back there.
So have you, I mean, I know you've taken the courses now, and I believe you've finished them, but have you been certified yet, or do you have to do something else to get certified, sir?
I am certified with my EPA card to service and buy and purchase refrigerants.
Thank you so very much, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. You're welcome, sir. All right. Mr. Brady?
Parole officers, I'm going to leave, but do you want to talk to the supervisor?
You do.
I mean, we have a very thorough report from him, so I think we have enough information. It's very complete. It has all the different elements you've completed. So maybe we should take testimony from your supporters. Who would you like to go first? Your uncle who's here, or your parents? Who would you like to?
Whichever the board prefers.
You're not making this easy. Well, let's start with your parents on the phone then. So, Mr. or Mrs. McAnally?
Yes.
Would one of you like to make a statement, one or both, like to make a statement to the board?
Yes, I do.
Sure. Go right ahead, sir, but state your name, please, for the record.
Larry McAnally.
Thank you. Okay. And go ahead. What would you like the board to know?
Well, basically, me and his mother both are up in our later years. I'm 73 and she's 69. We have limitations due to our age and health issues that kind of curtail our trying to travel to be able to see him over there. Both of us have diabetes and other issues. His mother's had a heart attack and had breast cancer that she's still requiring medical checkups for. And we could use his help at home along with our health needs. Plus, we would be able to give him more support over here. And it's a smaller town. It's not like Phoenix where it's big and all sprawled out. And there's plenty of work in the area, and we just cannot drive to Arizona to see him because we're physically not capable. And in September, we flew back for a couple weeks visit, but we can't do that very often because of the cost of the airfare and stuff. I know on this visit, we noticed a considerable change in his behavior and attitude, his willingness to help his aunt and uncle. And we had a nice family barbecue and everything for him. His interaction with the family was great. He was placed on home arrest on an ankle monitor in May. And he's complied with all the rules and stuff that he was required by the parole board and his probation officer. And we helped him in paying off the restitution and stuff because we wanted him to get a class and make sure that he had a good education and the way of earning a living when he does get to come home. And we'd like to request that the board take all these facts into consideration if they place him on general parole so that he can begin the process of requesting to come to Tennessee and stay with us.
Okay, sir, thank you. Does your wife want to make a statement too? Would your wife like to make a statement?
I'm sorry, I'm kind of hard of hearing.
That's okay.
I'm actually the one that wrote the statement.
Okay. So you're just going to have him speak for both of you then? That's okay?
Yes.
All right. That's completely fine. Thank you very much for your information. Do board members have any questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. and Mrs. McAnally. So now, maybe your uncle, if you'd like to. Mr. McAnally, you could just have a seat right there on that one of those. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Okay. And please just state your name for the record.
Lynn Dean, Lynn McEnany.
Thank you.
Did you bring in a pigeon?
Yeah, did you bring a pigeon? Yeah.
Did you have any?
We're interested in your hobby.
It's raising pigeons, whatever. It's a national organization, bigger in Europe than it is here. But
yes, sir.
But like I tell people at work, when I was working, I don't care if the kids, if you get them interested in goldfish, rabbits, chickens, pigeons, whatever, because they're not all athletic, they're not all scholars, and if they win a ribbon from showing them or anything else, they're up there. More involved with adults in doing this than the gangs.
Yes.
So that's kind of, is that kind of a, I don't want to say it's a lost sport, but it's not as big as it was at one point here?
It's not very common.
It's not as big, you're correct. There's so many ordinances and whatever as far as what you can have in a yard, and the HOAs and everything else, and the younger people coming up more with the computers and the little games, so they don't want to go up aside and do anything.
Now, I just remember as a kid that everybody had pigeons back then.
So, it's fun, and if you're into it, if you're not into it, that's what I would look at. But we race them all the way up to about 500 miles here, so.
It's just amazing.
One trailer takes all the birds and releases them, and they come home. They don't go, and they come back. That's why most people want to know, how do you know they went that far?
Okay. Well, what would you like the board to know, sir?
Well, when they put the ankle bracelets on him, and he gets home, and what I got home to my house, and I informed him there because he was talking to cars, him and his dad talking to vehicles and everything, that in order to get to a job or everything else, and I informed him, you lost your youth, forget about them jacked up vehicles and whatever. Might as well realize you're up in the ears and think more mature. As far as the drinking or whatever, there's no drinking. I don't drink. I gave it up in the 70s. Like he says, we went out to a restaurant for Mexican food, and he says, I had the Mexican food, and I didn't even have a urge for the beer. So he says, I think I pretty well got everything whipped there. I've been taking him everywhere. He does have his driver's license. I'm not sure about the insurance he got. So as far as driving, I drive him everywhere because it don't bother me. And the schooling and whatever, he's doing real good. They had talked about even putting him to work as an instructor there or whatever. But as far as the house arrest, I work construction, and then it's even working on the freeway. You could be here, but it could be a 6 mile stretch. So where are you supposed to be if they're tracking you?
Yeah, you could be anywhere.
As far as the electrical deal that he talks, the head back and whatever, unless they're installing like a building being put up and whatever, they might be there for all day. But otherwise, it's a deal going services and whatever. And they could be even out of the county, which he's not allowed.
Right.
So, it's a deal where he's done real good as far as attitude, what's going on and everything else, and I believe he's pretty much. I'm not the one to judge, but you guys are, but I believe you earned it and did a little bit better. As far as, like he said, getting around the crowds and not feeling claustrophobic, I know how that feels when I come out of the service and whatever, I've been in Vietnam, but it's a deal where, yeah. And sitting there in the yard with me, looking at the block fence, he ain't getting much communication with other people. So
well, it's good that you've been able to be a support to him, so that's good. Do any fellow board members have questions? All right, sir, thank you very much then. Thanks for being here today. So Mr. McEnany, I guess we got a lot of Mr. McEnany's here. Still on the phone, we got lots of McEnany's. We're coming toward the end of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to just tell the board that you haven't already told us? Specifically, why do you think you want to be paroled?
Well, I would like to be given general parole so that I could go have the chance to go and help my parents before something were to happen with them. The winters back there over there had it pretty hard. And just to be able to help them, drive them, help take care of them would mean a lot. Mr. Berg, my parole officer, had let me know that the victim's mother had called and wanted to talk. And I know that I'm not allowed to have communications with her.
Correct.
But I would like the board to consider it, that if it was done with the parole officer, so that she could say to me what she needs to say, so she can be at peace and I can apologize to her. I would be greatly appreciated. That way we both could move on from where we're at.
Okay. Well, these hearings are recorded, so it would be available to her if she wanted to listen to your
I am sorry for what happened that night. There is no excuse for my actions and what I did. To me, it's unexcusable. It was stupid. It was reckless. And it's something that I have to live with and carry for the rest of my life. I took a human life, and that's a burden I have to carry for myself. As far as for the victim's family, the mother, and any of the other family, I am truly and greatly sorry for the pain that I caused the family. And I hope someday that they could forgive me for what I did.
Well, thank you, Mr. McAnally. The board is going to go into discussion, and we don't discuss cases before we get right here in this room. And we do all of our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So it might sound like we're talking to you, but we're not. And which is the board talking among itself. And we'll be right back with you. So you can have a seat right there, and we'll be right back with you. So the board is now in discussion. Mr. McAnally is an individual who's on home arrest and has good recommendations from his parole officer, has been compliant in every way from this letter that we got from the parole officer. Even when he was in prison, he had limited discipline and has been compliant. We all just heard his apologies to the victim. I think he's very remorseful. We do have a letter from Maricopa County Attorney, which does oppose any further privileges beyond home arrest, and that letter is dated December 15th of 2017. Based on what Mr. McAnally has said today, some of the members of his family, he appears to me to be a good candidate for parole, but I will yield to any input from my fellow board members.
Well, I do agree with you. I think that he carries himself. Deportment has been right on today, and the support that he has from his family, both here in Arizona as well as in Tennessee, I think that he should be, if this board sees fit, should be given that opportunity. And I just speak as one board member.
Mr. Craney-Ellis?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I agree, and I think it's a journey for those individuals coming out of the prison system back to the community, and I believe Mr. McAnally's behaving the way we would hope someone returning to the community would at this point, and I hope he continues on that path.
Okay. All right, well, based on that, I am going to make a motion that we grant general parole 412A to Mr. Timothy McAnally.
And deny.
And we deny.
Absolute discharge.
And we deny absolute discharge, and that is my motion.
Second.
Green.
Green.
I gotta check some paperwork here. All right, so Mr. McAnally, if you want to come back up to the podium, you heard the board's discussion, and the board has granted your request for general parole.
Thank you.
So it will take some time to process. So I wouldn't be removing. don't remove it yet. But someone will be in touch from the department to process that, and it'll take a few days. But
I would suggest you get together with your parole officer when he comes back on the 26th.
From leave. Yeah.
He will be the one who would remove it and give you further instructions.
Thank you.
All right. So thank you very much. Congratulations, and our best wishes. We hope you continue to do well. And thank you on the phone, Mr. and Mrs. McAnally. You probably heard the discussion.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir, Mr. McAnally, and this concludes your hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.